Just we lift them up to you, Father. We ask you to just bless them wherever they're at. You know exactly where they're at, and we're so grateful for them and their faithfulness in the ministry. And we just pray that you would give them a fun time, a time of rest, relaxation, just enjoying each other's company and the other families that are with them. And we ask you, Father, to bring them back to us in a safe manner and just recharged and ready to minister, Lord. And Father, for tonight, for our time here tonight, I pray that I would not be any kind of distraction, that I would be filled with your Holy Spirit, that each one of us would be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, for the main purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about these topics tonight, Father, do a work by the power of your Spirit. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. All right, so we are going, like I said, to talk about several things, but one is the Calvary Chapel way, and it's not the best way. It is a way, let's put it that way. We're also going to talk about the leader of the church, qualifications of the leader, other forms of church government that's out there, real briefly, and we're not going in-depth on any of these. Rank structure, that's going to be an important part. And then we're going to look at the very end of this, one example of what happens when you get out of rank in the church, in the body of Christ. It's a serious thing. And so we want to look at that. And again, I'm going to go rapid fire through that at the very end. So I think if you read it again in your own time, you'll probably glean some more information that I'm probably not going to provide you, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you on. And that's my hope. So, okay, the Calvary Chapel way, again, is not the only way to do church. It's just a way. In fact, if you went, I'm from a Calvary Chapel in California, and that church operated different than this church. So, and there are other churches who kind of operate the same way we do that don't go by Calvary Chapel. But they've come out of Chuck Smith's church and like the concept or the distinctiveness of the way he did church, and so that's what we're going to look at. So there's many churches with different beliefs and practices, and there's different people. If you look around the room, we all got two eyes, two ears, etc., but we're not all the same. And so when you go to various other places and you have different cultures, different people groups, churches kind of have to, I don't want to say blend in, but they've got to be in such a way that attracts the entire culture that the church is based in. And by the way, just to say this, that we're non-denominational doesn't mean we have a church leadership that's in another state someplace or sending us money or gifts or whatever. That's not how the Calvary Chapel operates. Each Calvary Chapel is its own little church within a specific community or area. So God loves everyone. He has a plan for everyone, every single one of us, in some church, okay? Whether it's Calvary Chapel or some other church, God has called people to a specific church. And like I said at the beginning, I don't think a lot of people really think about some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. They just end up in a church and they like it and they stay or they don't. And so I think you need to know why you're here and how we operate so that you can understand when things get a little bumpy how things are supposed to go. And God wants us all to understand our individual positions within the body of Christ, okay? And so that's important. You need to know where you fit. And again, as Paul used the example, we're not all feet, we're not all hands or eyes or whatever. We're all different, and we have different gifts from the Holy Spirit and different ways we do things that can really minister to people. And so we just need to trust the Holy Spirit. So at Calvary Chapel, we look to the book of Acts for our model, and we try to be led by, guided by, and filled by the Holy Spirit. Anybody that's in ministry shouldn't take that flippantly at all. It's a very serious thing. Okay, so in Acts 2, and we'll have these scriptures up here for you, 2:42 is our where our model's found. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching of the word, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and prayers. And those are things that the church body needs to be active in, to have a healthy church, one that will actually bring in other folks who need to be here. And so, and then at the same time, that is our model, but we also can't forget the Great Commission that Jesus gave us, which is found in Matthew 28:19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, in other words, ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So there's the commands of Jesus, there's the apostles' doctrine, and that's what we need to stick to. It's God's word that saves, okay? And we need to stick to God's word, and it's through God's word that we're going to mature and grow into mature Christians. And so that's our one of our main focuses here. And there's one thing that if we do the above, if we fellowship, if we teach the apostles' doctrine and Jesus' teachings, and we go out and we try to win people to Christ, the Lord said he would add to the church. And that's found in Acts 2:46-7. It says, so continuing daily with one accord, and that's an important word there, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so we should expect, if we're doing the things correctly and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and remember, God's never asked us to do anything he hasn't equipped us to do, then our church should be added to, and those people should be showing up here as the Lord leads them to show up here. Okay, and that's really what we want. So, and it's not about church growth. We don't want a mega church. We just want to be able to minister to the people that God brings here. All right? The other church that I was at from California was a small, it was a little bit bigger than this one. I think we had 3 services, but anyway. So it's not about being big. It's about love. It's about fulfilling the commandments and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's key. And there is one word in that that I want to focus on for just a second, and it's that word accord, one accord. And that word in the Greek is homothymedon, and it means one mind. In other words, they were all on the same page. They all knew the plan. They were all part of the plan and participating in the plan. And that's important. Church is not a spectator sport. It needs to be a participation from each member of the body, because God's gifted every single one of us. And if he's gifted us, he wants us to give that away. If you're not serving, if you're not doing what God's called you and gifted you to do, then you're going to have to answer for that. And I don't want, you're still going to make it to heaven, but we all got to sit before the Lord in the Bema Seat judgment. And so we want to do a good job for the Lord. We want to bless his name, okay? And so one accord. We need to be of one mind. And Paul prayed for the Roman church, the Roman Christians there in Romans 15:5-6. He says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded, towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, to be one-minded, to speak, to think the same way and to speak the same way. So we all need to be on the same page. So as a church of body of believers, we need to be on the same sheet of music. And we, Donna, I don't want to embarrass you, but I know there's been time, a couple of times, very few, where you guys started playing music and you were playing one song and somebody else is playing this, and it didn't go well, right? And what do we call that? A train wreck or noise, right? And so we don't want to be a train wreck and noise in our community. We want to be on the same sheet of music. Okay, so the breaking of bread, potlucks, and practicing communion together, those are part of all of that as well. Praying for one another, making disciples, teaching obedience to Jesus and the apostles' doctrine, praising God together. And I didn't allow you to do much of that tonight, and I apologize again for that. So again, in these activities, we need to be led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, and filled by the Holy Spirit. And I just got to say this, that either you're filled with the Spirit and operating in the Spirit, or you're operating in the flesh. There's no middle ground there. It's one or the other. And the only way you can be filled with the Holy Spirit is when you live a life submitted to the Holy Spirit, all right? And that's really what this whole church thing is about, is everyone from top to bottom, in and out, children to teachers to leaders, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be submissive to the Holy Spirit of God. So are you in step with, of one mind, or the same page as the Holy Spirit right now, especially in this church? If we are, the Lord will add to our church those who fit here. Okay, and we do want to have a good fitting church. We want everyone that has a particular gift to be able to come here and utilize that gift in that ministry. So, but what happens if the worship team is singing different songs at the same time? We know it's noise. And so no reflection on Donna. It was good tonight. So anyway, so there must be one worship leader to give direction to those who are on the worship team. I'm going to change gears a little bit, but like every ship has a captain and every orchestra has a conductor, the church needs a leader as well to oversee the entire operation. Every emergency incident, again, I was a firefighter for 32 years, we would have one incident commander giving directions to the group of firefighters working for him. In a war situation, you have all kinds of different ranks, but you have one commander. You can't have four or five different commanders issuing different types of, or having different objectives and not working with one another to achieve the goal. So, and I got to remind you too that we are in a war, a spiritual war. And that is one big reason why we all need to be on the same page, especially right now, because it's getting pretty crazy out there. Now, here's a news flash. The New Testament does not give a clear statement of God's preference for church government, which is kind of interesting. You got to really dig and kind of look at the scriptures in the New Testament. And also, again, there are ranks within churches. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 30, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the churches. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues." Again, when you come across a question in the scriptures, you need to answer the question. Okay? And Paul says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers, workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to all those questions is no. There are different ranks and different gifts and abilities. And the Holy Spirit is the one, again, who distributes the callings and the gifts and the abilities as He sees fit. Okay? So if if you're not happy with a specific teacher, like tonight, God has apparently gifted me to some degree to be able to do that, all right? And so we need to practice our gifts. We need to get good at them, and hopefully someday I will. But the reality is that it's God who calls, okay? You may have a desire. That doesn't mean you're called. That's important to understand. Just because you have a desire does not mean you've been called. But if you've been called, you will have a desire, okay? And that's the good news. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who sets the ranks, okay? I didn't ask to be born a male. And yet, from the scriptures, I'm the head of my wife, okay? In other words, the buck stops with me. If things go wrong in my family, it's on me, okay? It rolls up to me. And so, you know, and she needs to play her part and her role, and there is submittance there on everybody's part, okay? Husband and wife, they both need to submit to the Holy Spirit. And here's an important point, is that the Holy Spirit's not going to tell a husband something different than he's going to tell his wife. He'll tell him the exact same thing. Well, that's the way it's supposed to work in church as well. If you're a minister here, if you're involved in the ministry, you need to make sure that you're submitting and filled with the Holy Spirit, and he, if it's of him, won't tell the pastor something different than he's going to tell you. Okay? He'll sing the same song to both of you so that you get on the right page. Now, again, it's the Holy Spirit that sets the ranks. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he himself gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now, the word pastor there is interesting. I think in the Greek, it looks like poimen. Okay, that's how you say it, poimen. But it looks more like poor man. And man, if you know anything about the ministry and being a pastor or leader, man, a lot of time, well, you become the servant of all, okay? And you really are a poor man at that point because everybody's pulling and tugging, right? They need something done, they need some help, or whatever. But the reality is the teacher's philosophy or mentality should be that he is a servant of all, okay? That's the same thing when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He was showing them how to be leaders, to take care of the people and their needs, and serve them, and that's a beautiful picture. So essentially, he must be the servant of all and not just you, though. And so often there are certain people that come into the fellowship and every week it's something else, and they, you know, and it becomes a wear and tear. And it's through the grace of God that Tony or anybody else in the ministry, they will deal with that, hopefully with grace and mercy. But, you know, Tony's told us several times that it isn't always about you, okay? So it should be about others. And so if it's always about you, then you're probably not serving anybody else in the body if it's always about you. So be careful with that. Now, you as a church leader, though, you need to understand that that's what you've been called to. You haven't been called to the top. You've been called to the bottom, okay? And you're to serve all right? Now, Paul writing to Timothy for the qualifications of an overseer. In 1 Timothy 3:1-6, it says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of bishop," and the Greek word here is episkopo, okay, from which we get Episcopalian. I'll get more on that here in a minute. "He desires a good work." So again, there's the desire, but you have to be called by God. That's important to understand. A bishop, an episcopo, or episcopi, a bishop then must be blameless. That doesn't mean sinless. We all sin, right? And you shouldn't expect, the pastor to be doing the word. Okay, not just hearing it or teaching it, but doing it as well. But we all slip, we all fall, we all struggle with the flesh. Again, we operate either in the flesh or in the spirit, and we all have our weaknesses, and we all stumble from time to time. And so you can't expect your pastor or leaders to be absolutely perfect 100% of the time. They have, you know, fleshly issues as well, headaches and sicknesses and all kinds of other things. So, but for the most part, according to about what Paul's identifying here, he needs to be blameless, okay? And it goes on, the husband of one wife. In other words, you can't be married to a couple of women to be a bishop of a church or a head of a church. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well. his having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Now, again, blameless really means not deserving a rebuke regarding those things, okay, of the scriptures mentioned here in Timothy and other places. So there's no doubt you could find fault in anybody. All you got to do, you could probably smell my sin. You come into my neighborhood, and you know it's just I mess up all the time. I'm not perfect, and so you know you shouldn't expect that out of me. And you should operate in the same grace and mercy that God has given you towards your pastors and towards your leaders, because they will make mistakes. Okay, they're not perfect. And so, however, if they are consistently living opposed to doctrine, clear teachings of the word, having an affair, whatever, then by all means that needs to be confronted and taken care of. And there has been pastors who fall, okay? In fact, I think the pastor and assistant pastor failure rate at this time is probably the greatest in history. But anyway, is the pastor consistent in restrained behavior? Does the pastor have or behave sensibly? Does the pastor behave admirably in all situations? Again, there's going to be times when, you know, there was a time out here I was extremely tired from work, and I saw somebody do something to another couple that I thought was an attack, and I got in that person's face. And I was a little bit in the flesh. I was exhausted from my week-long 6 days. At the time, I worked 6 days that week, and I was just tired. And immediately, I got out of the situation by taking that individual straight to the senior pastor, and before I ruined anything else. But so you know, we get tired, we get grumpy sometimes. Now, is he hospitable? Able to teach? Is he a drunkard? Okay. Is he? And by the way, if you're in leadership, you probably shouldn't be involved in that behavior at all. Okay. And Tony's told stories of situations from his previous church. So, anyway, is he being greedy for money, power, esteem? Is he gentle? Does he like to start fights? Is he a quarreler? Does he want to get in your face all the time? I have not seen that in Tony, but he will get in your face when he does see actual sin going down. And so you need to be aware of that. Now, is he coveting, lusting after? Does he rule his own house well? So those are the qualities to look for in a bishop, or in this case, we're going to slightly change that to a pastor, because that's kind of how we do it here. And he's not a new Christian, so we're not worried about that. So again, no man is perfect, no bishop, no pastor, no elder is perfect. Now, if he violates the role of a bishop or a pastor and you actually see it, you have a right to go to him personally and in private. You need to know that. In private, if you see him fail at something, stumble at something, you have every right to go to him in private by yourself and talk to him about it. And you better do it with humility. Galatians 6:1 says this, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So if you happen to see the leadership here stumble or do something that you thought was incorrect or wrong, by all means, go to them personally and in private and talk to them about it. And it doesn't have to be confrontational. Just talk to them. Hey, why did you do that? I saw this. Was I seeing that correctly? You know, can you give me a little help to understand the situation? You know, that's the right way to handle it. Now, if the leader refuses to hear you, then you need to take further biblical action, and that's a whole nother topic, and I want to move on. So, now, just to mention this, under the bishop, the leader, our elders and deacons who serve in various functions, and we have elders and deacons here at this church. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. There are other forms of church government, though, that you, when you look around the community, and you can see them in our community. I'm not talking about the cults and stuff, but I'm talking about other churches that are Christian churches that are in our community. They all have a form of government, and some are what they consider to be Episcopalian, which, again, is having a bishop oversee a particular church. Another form of government are churches that are ruled by elders, okay? And that those are called Presbyterian-type churches, okay? And they're ruled by the elders. Now, there's probably a little bit of issue with that, but it is found in the Scriptures. The only issue is that sometimes some of these elder groups they turn the pastor into a hireling, and if that pastor isn't doing and teaching what they want, then they get rid of them, and that's it's a power grab. It's power hungry. It can be, but we here at Calvary Chapel actually kind of use both the Episcopalian and the other one. Okay, Presbyterian style church. So we have a head pastor, and then we also have elders. Okay, and we got one in the room, well, a couple of them in the room right now. There is three elders on the board, I think, right? And we got Troy, who is outside the community. He's down in Tucson. He's on the staff there at Tucson Calvary Chapel. And then we got Anthony back here and Glenn. They're the elders here, and they mainly just handle, or not just, I mean, they'll handle anything, but it's a lot of business stuff, a lot of stuff that they give help to the pastor get through, you know, paying bills and that kind of stuff. And so that's a good way to do church. And again, our church kind of utilizes both concepts up to a degree. Now, back in Acts, Paul, again, a traveling preacher and apostle, as a traveling apostle and preacher, whenever he started a new church, he would always leave it with or try to appoint elders for that particular church. In Acts 14:23, it says, "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So they prayed and fasted. They sought the Lord who would be the right person to fit that position, that rank within that church. They entrusted these men to the Lord, okay? And so they really sought hard. They prayed hard. They didn't want to just leave these new believers in the hands of greedy men or any of those things that we saw in 1 Timothy. They believed the Lord's desire was for these men to be elders. They were convinced of it. And so they put them in that rank in those churches so that it would function well. In Acts 15, we see a dispute occur between several folks. In Acts 15:1, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them," in other words, it was a big dispute, "they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question." So when there are disputes or situations, elders, which are mature, spirit-filled Christian men, are utilized to help with management of the church and any kind of disputes. The pastor needs to be able to bounce ideas off these guys, help with disputes, assist with business and circumstances of the church. So that's why we see elders employed as part of the rank of the local churches. But ultimately, the bishop's role is to be a teacher and an example to the flock or church. Elders have their role to assist the bishop, and the deacons assist wherever they can and take some of the load off the bishop. So, again, we have deacons, and we got, I don't know how many we got. Anthony, you're kind of in charge of them, two? Okay, so we have two here, And as we grow, or there's more situations that we need somebody to step up and serve in, then we'll increase that as needed. Right now, it's not a super need. The only thing we call our bishop, essentially our bishop, is by the name of senior pastor. And so that's kind of how we operate at Calvary Chapel. Now, changing gears again, we're going to talk a little bit more about rank structure, but there is rank structure in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God. Ultimately, Jesus is the head of the church, period. Okay, he is the one that Tony takes direction from through the Holy Spirit. Okay, it has to be that way. And we have to trust that he's seeking the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit when he teaches or instructs or gives us wisdom through counseling and whatnot. We need to trust he's being directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, again, ultimately, Jesus is the head of the church. The Holy Spirit is in subjection to Jesus. Jesus, when he came, he was sent by the Father, dispatched by the Father. When Jesus went back to heaven, he dispatched the Holy Spirit to be a part of the church and the new believer's life in anointing those who would become part of the rank structure of the churches. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, there you see rank within the Trinity. You have the Father, then you have the Son, and then you have the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, and when you look at the Holy Spirit, he came to glorify Jesus. Well, when we walk in the Holy Spirit's power, guess what? The Holy Spirit gets glory because we've submitted our lives to the Holy Spirit. So it all kind of rolls back uphill. And it's an awesome thing. Everybody's a part of this the Godhead, and we need to submit to one another out of fear for the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit was sent to believers to be a witness of Jesus Christ. And again, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we glorify Jesus by his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ." Ultimately, that is true. But when you come into the body of Christ or the church, when you come into the church and you're a newborn babe in Christ and have no knowledge or understanding of how to now have that abiding life in Christ, that's why you're placed under more experienced, more mature teachers and guides within the church, to be able to learn and grow and to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit and glorify Jesus Christ. All right? And let's see. And so a side note. I want to finish that. I need to finish that. It says, "The head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is a man. And the head of Christ is God." Meaning the Father. So, side note to the ladies, if you don't have a believing husband nor a believing father in your life, then your head should be the pastor, okay? And when you have questions or need wisdom about a situation, you need to get counsel from your pastor, okay? If you do have a husband and he's an unbelieving husband and he's asking you to do something against Scripture, you should come to your pastor and say, "Look, you know, Tony, what do I do? You know, I'm trying to be a witness to my husband, and you know what? He wants me to do this, and this is totally against Scripture. What should I do?" And he can give you wisdom about how to deal with those sorts of things. So essentially, if you don't have that father or you don't have that husband, the pastor is someone you can go to like a father or a husband. Okay. So enough of that. Ephesians 1:22 and 23, it says, "And he, the Father, put all things under his feet, Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Within the Godhead, God the Father, again, sent the Son, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills us and sends us. Okay? And so we need to be in submission to the Holy Spirit. And it's clear that Jesus has the final say, though, regarding his church, of which Calvary Chapel, the White Mountains, belongs to. So Jesus ultimately is our head. And our pastor needs to be in submittance and being filled with the Holy Spirit daily to be able to lead and guide us and to tell us our mission and sometimes our rank. And we need to trust that he's hearing from the Lord. Okay? We need to assume that. I know that's a bad way to put it, but you need to assume that if Tony's telling you or directing you to do something, it's like coming from the Lord. Okay? Unless it's absolutely against Scripture, and then you have every right to say no. So we need to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's being filled with the Holy Spirit and operating according to the church. So just like God called Moses to be the leader of Israel, God calls men to lead local churches. All right? It's no difference. It's the same principle. Now, Moses was being directed by God to lead Israel to the promised land. And the pastor is like Moses. He must be in touch and he must be receiving direction and guidance through the Holy Spirit. Pastors must be leading in such a way that the people know with confidence that the Lord is in control of the church and doctrine. So the elders and church members must believe that God has anointed the pastor by the Holy Spirit, as well as those who are called into this body, what we call Calvary Chapel of the White Mountains. Unfortunately, there are those who challenge the pastors from time to time, calling and pastors calling and making their move to do their own thing. And that's when things get a little dicey. All right, the elders and the people need to believe and support those things that God is directing the pastor to implement within the specific calling of the church. Your service to Jesus Christ here at Calvary Chapel must complement what the Lord is putting on the pastor's heart. Again, like a marriage, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell the pastor to do one thing and the leaders to do another thing. They're going to be on the same page. Sometimes there are questions and they need to be worked out. Details need to be worked out to get on the same page as the pastor. Okay? And again, we need to make sure that we are submitting to the pastor and confident in his seeking the Lord. Okay? So if you clash with the pastor, you better recheck your rank and role in the body of Christ. I hope that's clear. Now, the elders and the leadership need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit as well. Okay, they can't be running amok and doing things outside what the pastor has sought from the Lord to do. Okay, they need to be on that same page. So the entire leadership of the church, as well as the church body, need to be on the same page as the Lord directs the pastor through the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you guys? Now, in every church, there are, again, those who think their ministry is above the senior pastors. And I've had to interview those folks who come through here who want to, you know, take on some of the ministry here. I'm not going to give you any specific details, but I always listen for this. And when I'm interviewing them, when they want to become part of the servants and the leadership here, is if I hear them say in the interview process, well, my ministry is this or that, right away I start to go, alarm, alarm, something's maybe not right here, dig deeper. And the question I have is it your ministry or is it the Lord's ministry through you? It ain't yours. If you have a ministry, again, if you have the desire, you must be called. Okay? Just having the desire does not mean you are called. But if you are called, you will desire to be raised up. All right? So, some people hold their ministry like an idol, and we have had to have people leave this church because of that reason. They felt that their ministry within this church was more important than the senior pastors. They got out of rank, and they would not change, and we had to ask them to leave. Now, again, I've ran into this several times in interviews. So your ministry should support the priorities and mission that the pastor has received from the Lord through the Spirit. If you have doubt about the calling of the pastor, compare him to 1 Timothy 3. If he violates some of those, then by all means, don't follow his direction, especially if he's asking you to do something against Scripture. But if he's asking you to do something according to Scripture, then you better recheck your thought process. You're getting out of rank, and you don't want to do that, because all I've ever seen here and at the church I came from California, when that happened, the whole church suffered because somebody got out of rank. Okay, it happened over there, and it's happened here. You need to stay in your rank. You need to stay within your calling. Okay. Now, again, you need to assume that he's heard from the Lord and give him the benefit of the doubt. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. I've seen people get out of rank and behave rudely. Okay. Does not seek its own. Okay, they were seeking their own ministry. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, and believes all things. And again, that goes back to believing that the senior pastor who is taking the leading from the Holy Spirit, straight from Jesus Christ, has walking orders. And again, we need to complement those walking orders. We need to be believing and giving him the benefit of the doubt that when he gives us direction to do something, it's coming straight from the Lord. Okay, we're going to see that here in a minute as we get into our chapter. So you should start with believing the pastor and receiving direction from the Lord himself. After all, you're not going to be the one to give an account to Christ. The pastor's the one who's going to give an account. Hebrews 13:7 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And I've seen many refuse to follow the pastor's direction, and many of those folks are not in ministry today of any kind. Okay? They have become unprofitable for Christ because of their disobedience. The church suffers from it, and even themselves, because they're not even being utilized by the Holy Spirit anymore because of their disobedience. It's not the end of the story, but you got a lesson to learn there to get back into rank. Okay? Repent. Think about it. Okay? Now, there's been times when Tony's asked me to do some very hard, uncomfortable things. And when he has needed it or told me to do it, I did it. And you know what? Ministry is not a lot of fun for a lot of the time. The greatest minister of all had to be crucified in order to complete his ministry. And so sometimes ministry is painful, and it's uncomfortable, and it's sweaty, and it's dirty. And so we need to take the good with the bad. God's trying to teach us something. And so we need to be obedient as much as we possibly can. So, now, turn to number 16. We're going to look at this. Now, as you're turning there number 16. In Exodus 4:15, and the Lord speaking to Moses and regarding Aaron, he says to Moses, "Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do." In verse 16, the next verse in Exodus 4, it says, "So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you." Now, that's what, remember, Moses complained, "Lord, I don't speak very good. I need help." And so he gave him Aaron, his brother, as his prophet. To be able to speak on Moses' behalf. And there's lots of reasons for that, but I won't go into them here. But he said to him in this verse, he says, "You shall be to him as God." So again, Moses called by God to be interface. He was going to be the intermediary between God and his people Israel, and he was going to be as in the position or the role as God to even Aaron. Okay, again, rank being identified. All right, this is important to understand. So Moses, from this point forward, is playing the role or the representative of God. That's what the pastor is doing, for the most part. Now, there's one time when Moses misrepresented God, and he paid for it personally. Now imagine if the senior pastor here misrepresents the Lord, guess what? God will take care of it. Okay, but Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land because he misrepresented God one time. So that pastor, whoever's called to be a pastor, has to walk an extreme fine line. And he will pay the price for not being faithful in his ministry. So you just need to know that. So if he's not asking you to violate the written scriptures by doing something, then by all means, please do it. Okay? If he's asking you not to do something or to do something against scripture, then by all means, don't do it. But I've been here since 2008, and I have not seen Tony one time tell somebody to do something against scripture. The issue always comes when he tells them to do something according to scripture, he gets a fight on his hands. Well, who is he really fighting against? If he has direction and knowledge from the Holy Spirit, that person who is not obeying is directly going against the Lord. Again, you're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. There's no in-between ground. So we all walk a tight line. All right? So number 16, we're just going to read through it again real fast. So verse 1, it says, "Now Korah with Dathan and Abiram and On, and they rose up before Moses with some children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation." Now, there are congregational churches. They are not good examples. Right here we have the congregation of Israel. And we just seen 250 individuals come now against Moses, the one who represents God, the one who is talking with God like he talks to another man face to face, and they're standing against Moses. Who are they really standing against? They're standing against the Lord. It says, "They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them.'" They're saying, and I've heard this actually one time here, is someone said, "Well, I got the Holy Spirit too." Not right now, you don't. but anyway, the thing here is that they're challenging Moses and his rank. Okay? And they want the rank that Moses has. So who's coveting? Coveting is something that doesn't belong to you. So these 250 leaders and elders are now in a clash with Moses and Aaron. Okay, and it says, "Why then do you, Moses and Aaron," I added Moses and Aaron in there, "exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" They didn't exalt themselves. The Lord called them that to that position, you see. So who had exalted Moses above the assembly? It was God himself that did it. Their issue is not with Moses, it's with God. So God did, he called and anointed Moses to be his representative. So verse 4, it says, "So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company," because he knows what's coming, okay, "saying, 'Tomorrow morning the Lord will show you who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him.'" Drop down to verse 6. do this, take censers, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. They already had a high rank within the nation and the ministry. They were serving the Lord's temple. They had great rank and great position, but they wanted more that didn't belong to them. In other words, they were taking that which they were not called to do. Okay? They had the desire, but no calling. Jeremiah 45:5 says, "And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them." If you're going to be a servant or a minister within the body of Christ, you need to be a humble person and accept the calling that God has given you, okay, and operate within that calling and with the gifts that the Holy Spirit provides you. Drop down to verse 8. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself?" Again, they had a great calling. They had great rank. They just wanted more. Okay, they were doing the work of the tabernacle. And they stood before the congregation to serve them. So congregational churches are not the best example of the way to do church. Okay, it's a way, but not the best. So Korah already had a high position again in the ministry of the Lord. They were seeking and assuming a position that God had not assigned to them. They coveted the position and authority of Moses. Now, verse 11. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? Now, wait. I thought they were gathered against the man Moses. And Moses just said that they were gathered against the Lord. Because Moses knows he's called. Okay? He knows he's called. He's been doing the job. Okay, and pretty well, by the way. He only failed once. All right, verse 12. And Moses sent to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like the prince over us?" You see, these guys were jealous. And they were blaming Moses for what God was doing. They were angry at Moses and they would not obey Moses. Who's in the wrong here? It's obviously these men. Again, remember what it said in Exodus 4. God called Moses to be as God, a role model. Moses was placed in this position by God. Verse 14. Moreover, you have not brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. They are defying Moses' request for them to come up. Said flat out, no, we will not come up. Who are they saying that to? The representative of God. Okay? So be very careful when you stand in with those words and stand against the Lord when the pastor is asking you or telling you you need to do something and you will not do it. You know what the Lord calls these people? Wicked. Wicked men. Now, drop down to verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against Moses and Aaron at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, let's go down to verse 23. He says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him." Verse 26 says, "And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men, touching nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of the tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. You see what's happened here? They were being defiant, rebellious, disobedient. They weren't on the same page. They desired to have a higher rank than their calling, and they suffered for it. These guys and all 250 of those leaders were removed from the ministry because they were not of one accord. You see how important it is to be of one accord, one mind? We need to be on the page of the pastor. Okay? We need to assume, or again, we need to consider that he's hearing directly from the Lord. So when he's asking the congregation, you know, something that we need to do something, it's as if the Lord is asking us to do it. Now, the moral of this event is know where you belong in the rank structure of the church. They desired a higher role than God called them to. Don't get caught up in that trap. If God has called a man, he's anointed that man to the position. Respect the position, all right? If God is, you need to assume that he is representing the Lord himself. Obedience to the pastor is being obedient to the Lord. And there's sometimes when the pastor will ask you to do something that it's like, man, I really don't want to do this, but that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. And you know what happens? You know what I've discovered? Is that every time I wanted to say no to something, and I did it anyway with the right heart, God has blessed me incredibly every single time. Every single time. I just submitted to the Holy Spirit and he said, man, I love you. Thank you for doing that. And he blesses. I get blessed out of that. It's an amazing, wonderful thing. And so sometimes, and I got a whole story that I can't tell you because it's five after now, but there was one time I was asked to do something, and I told my boss, this is back when I was a firefighter, captain, he asked me to do something, and I said no. I slept on it. The next morning, I woke up and went to prayer. I'm trying to shorten this up. I started praying in the morning, and it felt as though my prayers were getting past the ceiling. So you know what I did at 5 o'clock in the morning? I went outside. Thought, if I could just get out from underneath this roof, I know the Lord will hear my prayer. And I went outside and I started praying. And I still felt this restriction going on. And finally, I just, out of frustration, said, Lord, what is it? And he caused me to flash on that discussion that I had the previous day with my division chief. And I said, oh, okay, Lord, I'll go and I'll do what he's asked me to do. Was to go to a training session and train a bunch of people. And I said, Lord, not only will I go, but I will try to glorify you in it. And here's the thing. I went. I hated every minute of it. It was lousy. But you know what happened? A year later, I got a promotion, and the one who made the decision was that boss who I said originally no to and then changed my mind. I got the promotion because I was willing to go and train other firefighters. And so when I was saying no to my boss, I was saying no to the Lord and my future promotion, you see. And the Lord confirmed that with me a year later. I didn't get the promotion for a whole year, but the Lord confirmed to me through another boss of mine who said, you know why you got that job? Because you did what he wanted you to do on that one particular time. And I was like, I was blown away. When I said no to my boss, I was saying no to an incredible blessing. So when the pastor tells you to do something or asks you or requests you to do something, and there's times when I've told Tony, you know, he's put it to me in a choice. Do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And it was like, no, I don't want to do that, you know. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything outside of that, sin, right? So, but if it's hard and not much glory and fun, if you just do it, you'll be blessed. I'm telling you, you miss your blessing when you won't obey the pastor or the man of God. Okay, does that make sense to you guys? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you so much. You just want to pour out on us, Lord. And so often we put ourselves in places and positions where we can't receive your blessing. And I just pray for this church, for all of us, that we would just automatically regard Tony as hearing straight from your mouth, from your throne, as he directs and guides this church. May we submit to that. May we submit to your Holy Spirit. May we be a group of people who are all on the same exact page, doing what your scriptures want us to do, Lord. May we all be found faithful and obedient to what you've called us to do. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.